Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome inside. It's a big show in the morning. It's a Tuesday. Thanks for checking it out. My name is Matt Rose, hosting the show for another couple weeks here. Danny Austin, hanging out, guest host for the week. Welcome inside.
I feel great, buddy. It's good. You feel good?
Here.
Oh, man. Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Made the adjustment to these 3:30 in the morning wake ups.
That's a bit of an adjustment.
We're good to go.
It's a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah. I saw you this morning and I thought that's a man who understands the assignment.
Yeah. I've been working hard. I slept in a little bit, so I've had to work even harder.
I wasn't even referencing that. I wasn't going to say that, but you look good. You got an energy to you. I love it. It's lifting me up.
You know
We're
what?
Lucky to have you here.
Yesterday was a day that I said I didn't have it. I didn't feel good about what I did yesterday.
You spoke French.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the show.
That was great.
And I think we can all attest that it was very bad French, so that's about how the show went.
It was barely French.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here. You know, if you speak French today,
it was basically gibberish.
I mean, it was terrible. But you tried. You went for it. Day by day, we work on our French. We get better. You do Duolingo.
No, I don't anymore.
You don't?
That was much more of a pandemic thing when we were actually trapped at home. I used to do Duolingo. I had a keyboard. I don't even remember what it was called. I think it was the app was called like Memorex or something like that. It was like this program that you do on your computer and you plug in like a MIDI board, and it's basically a Guitar Hero, so you can learn keyboard.
Okay.
So I dived into that really hard. Did not renew my membership back in January.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Because it got about 4 months of use, and then
could
it
you
got,
play anything?
No, God, no, okay. No. It was kind of more geared to like music production, like kind of beats and stuff like that. So it wasn't like, oh, here today we're going to do hot cross buns. It was like play generic instrumental 7. So I wasn't learning all the bangers.
If you need lessons, you let me know. I can play piano.
Yeah, you can give it a couple. You can tickle the ivories,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah, it's All Coming Back to Me by Celine Dion. I can play that.
Really?
Yeah, I can play Defying
Gravity it,
from the music. I'm not singing Celine Dion.
Mm.
Maybe in the 8:30 segment. I hate to say no. I know it's, you know.
Yeah, I know. You don't. Yeah, okay, fair.
I also don't know that I know the words. And like when I say I can play it.
I'm sure we could pull them up.
You know what? 8:30.
Hey, Patty, can we pull up the lyrics?
To Celine Dion.
It's all coming back.
It's all coming back.
That's all you're getting.
Oof.
It's all coming back.
I think it's a lot higher than that.
Maybe we come back from break with it.
I don't know that we need to. I think we can move forward. You know, I didn't know this was the direction it was going. I wanted to, you know. I was so impressed with you last summer. You showed up.
Uh-huh.
You were early for a Stampeders practice. Mm-hmm. And you were just playing with your phone. And I think I made some, you know, joke about you kids, you Gen Zs,
yeah,
your phone, and you're like, nah, man, I'm doing Duolingo. And I was like, this guy, again, he understands the assignment. He's got it together.
I'm no Pat Steinberg. I'll say
Does
that.
Pat Steinberg did Duolingo?
Pat Steinberg did like a 900-day streak on his Duolingo. It was disgusting.
It was all for
frankly.
Him to go to France.
Yeah.
Which he was supposed to go before the pandemic.
Yeah, and listen, I'm really happy for him because he like sets goals and he accomplishes them, but also like quit it.
Quit it, Pat.
Stop making me feel
You're
like
You're making us look bad.
Yeah, I'd be like playing like Candy Crush or some dumb golf game on my phone.
You still playing Candy Crush?
No, back when Pat and I were doing the show together. And I'd be doing something dumb like that, and he'd be doing, like, Duolingo, or he'd be, like, researching for the next segment. It was a little bit much, but I do miss working with Pat.
We all love working with Pat.
I'm glad he's back, and it's one of the signs that you know August is here, when Pat Steinberg starts working a regular shift on the station once again.
Okay.
Because he takes a lot of time off in the summer.
As you should.
I don't know. I'm an individual who works more days during the hockey season.
And nights. Best days and nights.
Well,
yeah.
It's a full day for Mr. Steinberg because he's the first man in morning skate. he's the last man to leave, and then he does his show, and then he does the Flames, and then he does the call-in show, and then he gets up in the morning, he does it all over again, and then he does it on Saturdays, and then he does it on Sundays.
Man.
Gross.
Take your time off. I saw him on the LRT recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does take the train just so he can kind of feel like one of the normal people. Yeah. You know, all that money from doing all those Flames games.
I mean, he looked great. To be honest, I said, hi, Pat, and we were at the opposite ends of the train, and I felt I was being too loud on a train filled with children. So I don't know why I yelled.
And Pat was probably in disguise because he likes to be in disguise when he's out in public.
I mean, if by disguise you mean looking exactly like Pat Steinberg,
yeah,
yeah. But it was good. It was a nice greeting. We acknowledged each other.
Yeah,
gave each other a big smile. Moved on.
Yeah, I texted him the other day and just said I miss you. I'll see you around. Flames coming up. I'll see you around, Patty. Don't worry about it. But that's one of the beautiful signs of fall. And you know what? I love fall. Like this time of year, if you're a sports fan, personally, I think that this is one of the best times of the year because, so you just like the popular stuff. You like your big four. You like your hoops. You like your hockey. You like baseball. And you like your football. Well, right now, you get them all. You get the MLB in the midst of a playoff run.
Fun playoff run, too.
Yeah, for sure. And whether you are a Jays fan or you're, someone else who, another individual cheers for another team, whether it's the Orioles, the Rays, or the Mariners, even the Yankees, the Astros, or one of the teams in the AL Central, or many of the teams in the National League, you have something to cheer for. I'd say, more teams than usual at this point with the expanded playoff format. Mm-hmm. So you got that. You have the start of the hockey season. We've already seen some informal skates. Some of the Canadian teams have done some of their golf tournaments. The Flames will do theirs tomorrow on Wednesday. We're going to be at Country Hills Golf Club.
Yeah, we are.
Chatting with some Flames. I got another thing later today. We got to find out who we're golfing with, stuff like that. But we're going to hear from members of the Flames tomorrow. And we've already seen some of the other NHL teams start to do those avails, which are kind of like the season opening avail for some of the players that are at least in the market. Like
there
we saw it in Edmonton.
Coming out of Edmonton, right? Like
yeah.
We saw McDavid for sure.
McDavid and Jack Campbell. Now, I believe that what they've been doing is something different. Their golf tournament was last week, but they did have some avails.
Informal skates, I believe.
Yeah, it was informal skates. It was yesterday that we got some audio and some video from that you might have seen from the Oilers. But I know that there's, like the Canadiens did their golf tournament on Monday. I believe that's where they actually named Nick Suzuki the captain, which is kind of cool. So that's how you know that the hockey season is getting close. We've got the Young Stars coming up. It starts Friday. The Young Stars games are going to be all streamed by the Calgary Flames when they're down in Penticton.
Okay.
I've actually got a handful of pals coming over Friday night, mostly just to have dinner, but I've also sprinkled in the, hey, just so you know, I'm going to have the Young Stars on in the background and I'm going to be watching it and it's going to be borderline obnoxious because it's Young Stars, but I'm also excited, so sue me. They play at 7:30 on Friday. I believe they got a 7:30 start Saturday as well, and then it's 11 o'clock on Monday against the Jets. And like I mentioned, you can stream all those games. But the NHL is here. If you're an NFL fan,
we're going.
Week one. My goodness. If you were a veteran week one, oof. A lot of, I believe it's what they call sharp money, ended up taking L's over the course of the weekend.
I will say that it was a week one that felt like a week one. I wouldn't say that we had a ton of great football this weekend.
No, it was scrambling.
But some fun football. And as I said yesterday, honestly, the greatest football game I've ever seen was Chiefs-Bills last year. So seeing both of those teams come out firing,
mm-hmm.
looking like the best teams in the league, just sets me up for like, I got a day in December I got to clear the decks for.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, I can't wait. There's no sporting showdown I'm more looking forward to between now and, I guess, the end of January.
So I'm interested. Tell me about your Bills fandom. Like, where is it at? How did it begin? And where are you right now?
Straight up, it began with Doug Flutie. Like, there is no, like, there, that is, I did not really particularly care. You got to remember, I mean, I'm 38.
Mm-hmm.
There were only two or three games on a weekend. You
sure.
know, like, you didn't have the zone or whatever. Like it was.
You didn't have Red Zone growing up?
We did not have Red Zone growing up. So, you know, the Bills being in Toronto were the only thing that I could follow. But I'll be real with you. I don't get to claim them. Like, I get to have fun with them, but I didn't suffer through the lean years. I honestly was just like, cool, I'm tuning out.
Yeah, watching. You tapped out when the years were bad.
Yeah, like, they're not like the Raptors, where they're my actual team.
I also think it's different when you can't take it all in, and then the internet wasn't the same. You're like, I really got to go out of my way to do this mental damage to myself.
I feel like the lean years ended 2 years ago, mm-hmm. so, like, the internet was around during the lean years. But, like, no. Like,
but by that time, you were checked out. By that time, you'd been checked out for a decade plus.
It is very similar. Like, I openly grew up a hardcore Leafs fan. Like, eventually enough damage gets done, and you just stop being a really, like, I wouldn't take much joy in the Leafs doing anything, because, like, they've hurt me enough.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But, yeah.
I don't know. You might dive into a Leafs run.
The problem is because I cover the Calgary Flames, I now also have to deal with Leaf fans on Twitter, and they're so obnoxious and so annoying and just see everything through this lens that I actually resent Leafs fans and I don't want to be one. So
we're going to put a pin in that.
Okay.
We'll put a pin in that for later.
Okay. But ultimately with the Bills, honestly, like, I don't know if their resurgence had not been based around a player as exciting as Josh Allen, I don't know that I would be
Stallion.
But I genuinely just love watching him play football. So it's like, I honestly, I don't care if they win a Super Bowl. I just like watching Josh Allen. I like that whole team. I think that offense is super fun. And, you know, we watch a lot of CFL. I love the CFL. Getting to then watch a guy like Josh Allen who has the arm, who can run, it's... You know, I think I'm a pretty seasoned football watcher at this point, and him and Mahomes are just unlike anyone I've ever watched. I love
Mahomes. Especially because they have the downfield skill. Whereas you look at like a Lamar Jackson, I think a lot of people would be left wanting with what he does downfield sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My general point I was going to get to here is more in the sense of, okay, the NFL season's underway. You've seen the first week of the Bills. Yes, you've been fair weather at times, but the team that you cheered for as a kid is now good again.
Mm-hmm.
How many Bills games are you going to watch?
Assuming, as you know, our schedule.
Given the schedule, you know, the Sundays are usually pretty good as far as the Stampeders not having, like, usually they'll just do like a 20-minute avail, and you don't.
I don't really go, in part just because I don't want to. One of the great joys of covering the CFL is the travel is so much easier than it is with hockey or basketball or football. Like, you know, I don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. and rush to beat the Flames to a morning skate in Pittsburgh. You know,
Totally.
So I don't go to the availability the next day ever.
But
I work hard enough.
Yeah. So you're gonna have some Sundays available.
Yeah.
You're gonna try. How many Bills games are you gonna try and catch this year?
Not all of them.
Are you diving back into your fandom? Is what I'm asking.
Sunday nights, I would watch every one. Mm. But yes, I am. I'm more engaged than I have been. I'd say I'd watch 12.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortably 12.
The reason I ask is because the last couple of years I've been very much a red zone tilted individual.
As you should be, I think. All of us probably.
Especially if you're fantasy oriented or you're a diehard of your team and you want to watch your team. And that's fine too. And I love hearing different reasons why people are fans of different teams in Canada. It's always fun. But for me, I became a Bengals fan when I was in high school. Because I was a big fan of the audacious Chad Ochocinco. And then the Bengals sucked really bad for a long time. There was the A.J. Green years. There was the Andy Dalton years. There was Carson Palmer, who was okay. And then they went to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that I had told over the 10 years that I was a Bengals fan, even if at times it was lukewarm or very fair weather, they crawled out of the woodwork. Oh, man, congratulations. Your team went. And I was like, this is really neat. I think I'm going to buy into this. I think I'm going to watch as many Bengals games as I can this year. So I sat down for that one on Sunday. And I was upset.
Yeah, I imagine.
That was a hard hard start to the season for the Bengals, but I did like the fact that they were on television on just straight-up tube, so you could take that in. That was lovely. And I'm going to try and take in as many games as I can this year. Well, disappointing loss, but you move on.
I would. I mean, it's not a direct like-for-like comparison, but let's be real. I mean, if we're talking quarterbacks, it was just you would tune in just to watch them, whether you're a fan or not. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow's right in that mix with the Allens and the Mahomes.
And it's another thing that kind of goes back to my questions about the Bills, because I think we're in a pretty similar place. If the Bengals hadn't drafted Joe Burrow, if they didn't have Ja'Marr Chase, if they didn't have Joe Mixon, if they didn't have a pretty stout defense, typically, then I probably would still be very much lukewarm. But obviously, they got the players. They went to the Super Bowl, and now I'm bought in.
Yeah. Well, and I hate gatekeepers for how you cheer for sports. Like, I think we all got busy lives. If your team's terrible, it's perfectly okay to not watch every game. And, you know, I know, you know, as you're aware of, the Raptors are my number one, and they always have been. And so during 2019, I think I was pretty welcoming to everybody who wanted to come.
Very much so.
And join in. But I also think I appreciated that people, when they did win, sort of understood that it probably meant something on a deeper level to me. And I would never, with the Bills, try to be out here with, you know, someone from Western New York who spends the money, who went, you know, followed them when they were terrible and missed the playoffs for all those years. I wouldn't want to ever claim to have that level of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like the whole, oh, the bandwagon, there's not enough space. It's like, no, there's always space, man. It's always more fun to have more people cheering for the team. And I hope that's how Bills fans, the real ones, feel about me.
The point of sports is not to celebrate championships, but it is to be sad in a group together.
And we've all had a lot of it, haven't we?
And it's so much better if the group is that much bigger.
Yeah, the more the better. Exactly.
The more the merrier.
Yeah. Our sadness is what defines us as people.
I don't know where I read that. That's not something I came up with. I can't accredit whoever came up with that, but
as sports fans, we get knocked down, but we get up again.
And then we get knocked down.
You ain't never going to keep us down. That's Chumbawamba.
Was that Chumbawamba?
Chumbawamba.
Sub-thumping.
Sub-thumping.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. We got the credited too. Perfect.
Brody, sub-thumping coming in next break.
Write that down. Don Cherry's hockey hits. It's a banger. So that's the story with the NFL. If you are, you know, attuned to the four majors, we talked about the baseball, talked about the hockey, basketball is coming up. You fired up for the basketball season?
I am. I am fired up as a Raptors fan to see the next step. I, on some level, it's a little bit weird right now. Basketball is so, as you know, I mean, the media apparatus surrounding basketball is massive, right? So when basketball starts, I mean, you can not follow any other sport. There's basically a beat reporter for every player on every team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't mind the break.
Also because basketball, like, the beat reporters between an NBA and an NFL team might not be different, but the personnel on each team is considerably different. You got your 12 players total on an NBA roster compared to 53 or 56 on an NFL roster.
85% of them are making more than Connor McDavid.
Yeah,
right?
We don't have to get into that, but but it is a reason to be excited about the NBA. A lot of player movement.
For sure.
Is that your fantasy sport? Because you don't do football. You don't do hockey.
I do CFL. Let's,
that's, once again, we don't have to get into it.
Let's just move past it. Basketball is my fantasy. And, I, a couple years ago, launched, like, the most aggressive rebuild. Traded everyone.
Oh, you're like a deep dynasty league?
I'm a deep dynasty league.
Oh, my goodness.
And the problem is, like, I have what I can only describe as one of the best. In 2 years, my team will be the second best fantasy team I've ever seen. The problem is, and none of us in the league understand it, the guy who won last year and the year before, like, he has Luka Doncic. He has every good player under the age of 27, and I have the rest, but there's no way I'm ever going to beat him. Like, he has too good a team. And it's sort of ruining the fantasy league.
Because
he will win the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, he's just too
that
stacked.
Good a team. And none of us, like, meant for it to happen.
So do you draft at all?
We do. You
very basic, I would assume, because his team is pretty much.
I mean, you're
settling.
Basically taking
bench players,
role players, and then the guys who are coming into the league. Which that's the thing about the NBA is that you get. I mean, NBA rookies are, you know, they're not getting sent to the AHL. You know, they're coming in.
Yeah,
right away.
Exactly.
You know, they're expected to make an impact at 19 years old. So that could be fun. But yeah, basketball is. I mean, it's honestly, when I leave here, I will put on a podcast and I won't I want it to be about Rings of Power, the new Lord of the Rings show, but no, it'll just be about the NBA. I can't escape it. It takes over my life.
I'm starting to listen to the fantasy podcast I listen to for football. I usually listen during the week. I didn't even listen to the new Smartless episode. I don't even know who the host was yesterday. That's how down bad I was. How down bad are you that you're looking at a 2-year rebuild in a fantasy league? Like, that's... Fellas in the other room, that's pretty bad, right?
I got one going to my...
A rebuild?
Yeah, in a football league.
So you guys.
I won year one.
Big dynasty, yeah.
Of our keeper league, let's be clear. So I basically, and it's a 12-team league, so I have 11 years before I'm losing money on this. So I was like, honestly, my team is old. We're not... I got 5-6 years before I have to start breaking even or even worrying about it. And that was my theory. So,
man, that's some ass backwards math, eh?
Well, but it's not, because I, you know, literally, like, I'm still several hundred dollars ahead of where I would be throwing in $50, and we only go 50 every single year. And honestly, like in sports, my only theory is don't keep me in the middle. I want to be at the top. We're rebuilding, and
even
I did
in fantasy,
it.
Eh?
I'll be honest, I didn't have any other option. My guys were all like 31 years old and on the damn side of their careers. Mm. So
that's some questionable managing, I would say.
And when I'm getting second place for 4 years in a row,
we'll all see dynasties come to an end. Is that how we're painting this?
Yeah, I'm not going to start like going into who I have on my team, but it's exceptional. Okay. I have Anthony Edwards. I have LaMelo Ball. I have every
big cat. Yeah,
yeah. I got them all.
I know both those players that you mentioned, so good for me. But I'm excited for the Raptors season to come back. It's tough because I usually watch like a couple games early on in the season, and then it's hockey, and then it's playoffs whenever I can get a couple of...
Well, and you are better with me. Like, my days off, I tend to be like, okay, I need to be an interesting person and not have it dominated by sports. So, you know, I'm still following along, but I'm not devoting 9 hours a day on my day off to sports when it's literally the only thing that I do. So that's where we're different.
Yeah. So, like, you mean this weekend when I dragged my girlfriend to mini golf and then an hour and a half at the driving range, and then on Sunday I played a doubleheader, slow pitch, and then hockey? You wouldn't do that on your days off?
I mean, I respect you for it. I admire you for it.
I feel so sore.
Yeah.
It was a terrible error.
But you look great. You know, you're doing well. You're keeping fit.
Everything. I'm not keeping fit. Playing sports is not a good way to keep fit. Going to the gym is a good way to keep fit so you can play sports.
You are correct. we discussed the last week that I was on how I tore my calf.
Yes.
Being hungover and not stretching and playing basketball. Exactly.
You got to do the little arm circles when you're doing the stretches. I remember that.
I got about 10 years on you. I'm well aware that playing sports is not how you keep in shape. Well aware.
I was supposed to have a massage yesterday. Turned out that they had called me and told me that it was canceled because there was an issue. So I had to get it rescheduled. So I walked all the way there and I was like limping. Like I was... just in rough shape, and then I get there, and they tell me no, and I was sad, and then I went home, and then I watched the Jays and the NFL, and it was great.
That's amazing.
But yeah, that's the fall, man. You get the four major sports, you get a little bit of local sports, Cavalry's in their playoff push, the Stampeders are doing their thing, the Hitmen preseason is well underway, the AJHL is right around the corner, if that's your cup of tea. And then on top of that, I would also argue that you got a pretty good fall slate of film going on. Haley was watching the Emmys briefly after I was done with the Monday Nighter yesterday. Keenan
Thompson.
You didn't
watch the Emmys?
I had to go to bed. Yeah. I watched about 45 minutes of the Emmys, and I was like, this isn't that good.
But, like, TV is great right now.
It's so good. I was like, look at all these movie stars winning TV awards. Yeah. You got Michael Keaton winning for Dope Sick, which, if you haven't watched Dope Sick, real good. If you got Disney Plus, not for the kids.
Okay.
Not for the young kids. Maybe if they're older.
It's about the pharmaceutical industry, I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay, it's about oxycodone and cool. Its effects and big pharma. Okay. I guess. One
like big farm.
Yeah, right? That, yeah. Did you watch Dope Sick, Patty?
I've seen a little bit of Dope Sick. Yeah, it's really good.
Michael Keaton is awesome in it.
Beetlejuice. Will Poulter?
Will Poulter is really good in it.
He plays like a rap.
I don't know the other two ladies' names that are actors in it, but they were both very good as well. That was old, but I'm excited about the new fall slate as well.
Man,
because like
last night, I watched...
What'd you watch last night?
I watched House of the Dragon.
So are you caught up?
I'm caught up. Followed it up with Rings of Power, new Lord of the Rings show.
I haven't started yet because I got too much on the go, but I'm going to binge Lord of the Rings.
I gotta tell you, it's something different. I don't know anyone's name in either show. Barely recognize a lot of the characters, but yeah. But man, I will say Rings of Power, I think, is the better of the two TV shows.
Okay.
I said yesterday how I gotta get rich. I got to get Jeff Bezos rich so that I can just fund TV shows the way he does, because I cannot believe how much money they're spending on it. Yeah, it was an amazing night. I will also say, I don't know if you've ever watched the show Industry. That's my other recommendation.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before.
On HBO. Incredible show. It's winding up its second season right now. But yeah, TV's good. Bachelorette's almost done, but we got Paradise coming up.
Bachelorette is almost done. Wasn't on yesterday because of the Emmys.
If you got Apple TV, 5 days of Memorial is a new one that's out. It's really good.
Haley and I are watching Severance. We're only two or three episodes in.
That's Adam Scott, right?
Adam Scott, yeah. Christopher Walken, John Turturro. And Turturro and Walken were both nominated for their roles in Severance for supporting actor. And I didn't get far enough into the Emmys, but maybe Adam Scott was also nominated because he was also very good as the lead. So that's what we're watching right now. Here, I got one fun thing before we hit the break, and we got to get to the morning report. And maybe we'll talk some sports then. But I got a spoiler-free recap of the most recent Game of Thrones episode.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep. It was a vibe if you want to know. I heard you got too late last night. That's amazing. I don't know how to comment without spoiling. That was some sort of episode.
If you've seen it, you probably get it. Heard you got too lit last night. Those Targaryens, they get after it, hey?
They like each other.
And their sauce. I'm enjoying this new show. It's quite good.
So am I. It's just watching
you look
next...
like you've got a qualm. You stepped forward, you were like... There was a butt coming.
I think if it wasn't directly next to Rings of Power, but like honestly, you watch those two shows next to each other. Rings of Power, they're on boats. They're going to like different continents. You got elves who are getting captured by orcs, all sorts of stuff. Like
they did boats in Game of Thrones.
They had one boat.
They were kind of
I don't know why they
boats from a distance.
That crab character, and then they just killed him right away.
Wow. Okay. That's an episode three. I don't even think we've moved past Statue of Limitations on that one.
That was a mistake by me.
That was a slip
I'm
of the tongue.
I'm new to this library.
We did spoiler free radio with my little. I heard you got too late last night. And then you just dropped that.
Look, if you're listening to the podcast and somehow miss the spoiler, you don't have to go back.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Danny_Austin_9.
In case you want to let him know.
Check
it. Danny_Austin_9. Or you can hit us up on the text line 960-960.
Do I have to like seriously apologize for that? Probably.
No, I don't think. Seriously? No, I don't think so. I think you're fine.
I mean, I got nothing more. I just ultimately, I got to remember, don't spoil TV shows that are going.
Fall's beautiful. You got sports locally, nationally. The TV slate's great. The movie slate leaves a lot to be desired. Sweater weather, pumpkin spice is here. Thanksgiving is soon. What's not to like?
Man, I'm busting out my fall clothing already. Way overdressed.
You look good, though.
I appreciate you.
You do look good.
Appreciate you.
We'll take a break around the corner of the morning report. Yesterday, it was a very intriguing Jays game. And I would also argue... pretty good Monday nighter, despite maybe a lower score. Very fun game. Tell you all about both next. Sports and 960 The Fan. Let's get to the morning report, because yesterday there were some things on the go. The Jays, a PTO for the Calgary Flames that I think we kind of hinted at, that like it was inevitable, but alas, and also an NFL game. So the morning report brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes, 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
I'm Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
And yes, I am Matt Rose, and we got plenty to get into with the morning report here, and we're going to start with the NHL. We did talk about it on Monday's show, kind of. It came down late in the cycle, but Evan Rodriguez has found a new home. 29-year-old center signs a one-year, $2 million contract with the Colorado Avalanche. He had 19 goals and 43 points in 82 games with the Penguins last season. Played up and down the lineup for Pittsburgh, especially as they dealt with injuries early on, with Malkin and Crosby missing some time. It's an intriguing cheap option for Colorado, especially with the loss of Nazem Kadri. They were able to retain the likes of Josh Manson and Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen. They didn't retain Kadri, but they get another center in here who could probably battle for that two spot, maybe sit in the three, depending on how they decide to go with Alex Newhook and others still in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that we were all talking about him as a fit in Calgary all summer should tell you a lot. But ultimately, I don't think they're going to be relying on him to get 80 points. I think they're going to rely on him to come in and do what he does, which is be a good professional NHL hockey player who has some offensive upside
mm-hmm.
and can play two ways.
So yeah.
Honestly, for everyone, if you were counting on Western teams, closing the gap with the Avalanche, this one's probably a little bit disappointing.
This didn't help.
This doesn't help.
Compher is a center. Rodriguez is a center. Darren Helm and Alex Newhook play center. They've got Landeskog listed as a center where I'm looking. Rantanen plays it when he has to. MacKinnon does full-time. They'll have some options down the middle in Colorado. I don't know if it's the same kind of depth that you look at with the Calgary Flames, but they'll have some options, and they're still just going to be a nasty, deep team. And the Flames making some news as well. Old Faithful, Michael Stone, signing to a PTO, so he'll participate in camp. He'll be around. Maybe he signs, probably some preseason action. Maybe he doesn't. Could maybe depend on injuries. And if any of these other signings really do impress the head coach and management team at camp, does Nick Meloche grab a spot? Does Dennis Gilbert grab a spot? What does Connor Mackey or Yusuf Alamaki look like? Is there a spot available when you look at the six defensemen who are, or the five defensemen returning from last season, plus the addition of Mackenzie Weegar? I don't know. But Michael Stone's back. I don't think many were surprised.
I don't know, but I also do think on this one, it is worth giving Michael Stone a little credit. I think he drastically outperformed expectations when he had to come in the playoffs last year. I think he was good. I'm not saying he's going to be your number one guy. I'm not, but as far as having this guy in your rotation, having him sort of be a seventh guy who can step in on short notice and do the job, he's proven that he's a pro who stays ready, which I honestly think is an undervalued skill.
Mm-hmm.
Skill's not the word I'm looking for, but I like having Michael Stone around if you're the Calgary Flames. I think he can do the job for you when you need it.
Yeah, I think he's a good player as well.
I like this.
As a seventh defenseman, could you ask for anything else?
No. And the reality is, with those young guys, and I don't know that those young guys have shown that in the playoffs you'd want them stepping in
and
taking on the role that Stone did. Not yet. I'm not saying not ever, but I think having, again, we have to consider where the Flames are in their development cycle, and they are in the go-for-it cycle, so having veterans who know what they're doing matters to me. I think this is a great, great small signing.
It just continues for Michael Stone. Fourth straight season that he signed with the Calgary Flames. Now, granted, this one is a PTO, but it was a one-year contract with the Flames signed ahead of 2019-20, 1 year ahead of the 2020-21 season, 1 year ahead of the 21-22 season. It was a three-year pact prior to that, as he's now been with the Flames for quite some time. But season ends, Michael Stone becomes a free agent. Season draws near, Michael Stone signs with the Calgary Flames, and we move on.
And then takes on a tough role.
Sure.
I know we always want to talk about the elite, 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 but when he came in the playoffs last year, you heard a lot of the other Flames say that's the hardest job in hockey, is to be the guy who just has to continue to prepare day in, day out, and get left out. So I like Michael Stone. I'm happy that he's staying in Calgary.
Yeah, also just a beauty. You see him in the press box sometimes. Yeah. Good dude. As for the NFL, Week one wrapped up with the Seahawks hosting their former quarterback Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos for a first edition of Monday Night Football. Did you see how Russ was greeted?
He was booed.
He was booed.
That doesn't surprise me.
Kind of forced his way out of there. While he was running out with his new teammates, it was Geno Smith at quarterback for the Seahawks. Smith making his first week one start since he did so with the New York Jets in 2014. Smith and the Seahawks got the ball first, couple of nice grabs by his stud receivers and Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, got the drive into Broncos territory, and shortly after that, they were on the board.
Blitz, Homer picked it up briefly, and Smith flips, wide open caught, Disley, touchdown, what a start.
So an early 7-0 lead for Seattle before Russ Wilson has a chance to take to the field, and boy was it loud when he did. Wilson and tight end Andrew Beck with a couple nice completions to move the Broncos into scoring territory quickly, but the drive would stall in the red zone. They'd settle for a field goal from Brandon McManus, the lone surviving Bronco from the 2015 Super Bowl win. So 7-3, the ball going back to Seattle with Geno Smith. Couple flags against the Broncos move Seattle deep into Denver territory into the 10-yard line. The Hawks got into fourth and inches situation, but it was the Broncos with a massive stand on a quarterback plunge, forcing a turnover on downs and keeping points off the board. Nothing going for Denver on their next drive. Wilson sacked as the first quarter ended, giving the ball back to Seattle. The Seahawks did lose safety Jamal Adams to a quad tendon injury at this point. They deal with it for the rest of the evening. Penalties would see the Seahawks drive stall, but they'd connect on a long field goal to increase their lead to 10-3. That would bring the Broncos back out. Only a few plays into the drive, they were dancing in the end zone.
Wilson floats it. There's Judy. Pass caught. Judy still going. Down inside the 20. And touchdown, Denver Broncos. 67 yards. And the first touchdown for Jerry Jeudy in over 600 days. Broncos are an extra point away from tying this game.
And they would tie it. First TD thrown by Russ Wilson as a Bronco is a classic Russ. Jeudy kind of looking like Tyler Lockett when they were teammates with Seattle. Geno Smith was playing extremely well. He'd throw his first incompletion on the next drive, but also another touchdown.
Smith, Parkinson, touchdown, Seattle. 25 yards to Colby Parkinson.
Geno Smith saying, don't forget about me. He completes 17 of his first 18 passes to 8 different receivers and 2 touchdowns as the Hawks very quickly restored their 7-point lead with a few minutes left before halftime. Russ would later drive downfield but stalled by penalties once again. They end up settling for a long field goal, 17-13, the lead for the Seahawks at the half. First drive of the second half went to Denver in a pretty strong start, got down into the red zone, in fact, down to the 1-yard line, but a 4th-and-1 situation from the goal line. Seattle had been stopped in a similar kind of scenario back in the first half. Could their defense return the favor?
Gordon. The ball is out and recovered by Seattle. Seattle takes over at their 10.
Not only the stop on the 1, but a fumble by Gordon. The Hawks recover on their own 10-yard line, so a little breathing room to start the drive. The Seahawks make solid progress down the field, helped by some Broncos penalties. There was a real problem in this game. They'd keep points off the board by forcing DK Metcalf into a fumble near midfield. Scooped up by the Broncos defense, giving Russ a chance at some points off the turnover and a lead in the game. Once again, Broncos into the red zone. A chance at a touchdown. This time they're giving it to Javonte Williams, the sophomore back, after it was Gordon who fumbled it earlier. What would Williams do?
They get it away. They hand to Williams. Ball comes out. Recovered by Seattle. Jackson with the recovery.
The Seahawks recovered in the end zone. They keep any points off the board, maintaining a 17-13 lead, and the Seahawks couldn't get anything going on their drive. The worst-looking one of the game came to start the fourth quarter, so really it was a pretty good run up until that point for Seattle. They'd punt it away and lead to a long drive for the Broncos. 15 plays, 72 yards, several red zone chances, but they settle for a 26-yard field goal from McManus to keep the Seahawks in front 17-16. The Broncos defense did their part. They held the Seahawks to only 3 plays, the first 3 and out of the evening for both sides. Gave the Broncos the ball back with about 4 minutes left to play. Bit of a scrambly drive, though. Several plays, but not a ton of yards, and just brutal clock management that led to a 4th-and-5 situation from the Seattle 47. How about this from the Manning cast? They tried to figure out what Denver was doing with their timeouts.
We got three timeouts, E. I might use one right here, E. Let's use one. Let's talk about this one. Let's talk about this one. They're going to try to draw, they can try to draw them off sides. Might try to draw them off sides, E.
They don't have that much time.
Snap count.
You don't want to waste that much time, I don't think.
Yeah, I think we should call timeout, like now.
I think they're running a play. They look unsettled. Sutton doesn't know what he's doing. Hurry up. Time out.
What the? So you just burned 30 seconds to call a timeout?
It was a mess. They were taking timeouts to call timeouts. It was an absolute disaster. It is a new head coach for the Broncos, we'll say that. But nevertheless, it set up a 64-yard try from Brandon McManus to give the Broncos their first lead of the game. But he missed it. Wide left. And that would be the game. There was time left. Like, they could have tried for a 4th-and-5 first down and given McManus a little bit more room. But they don't. And the Broncos lose 17-16. The return for Russ spoiled by Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, and the Seahawks. And how about this from Smith after the game to the haters?
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
You like that one, Danny.
I love that so much.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
They wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
He's also not wrong. They did write him off.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's been 8 years between starts in week 1 for the guy. He's been a backup forever. He was dynamite in this game.
He was dynamite in the first half. I don't know that he was.
He had a couple bad drives in the second half, but he finished like 20. He had a good line when it was all said and done.
Absolutely.
Pretty tidy slate of action for week 2's primetime games as well. Chargers and Chiefs Thursday night on Amazon Prime. You got the Bears and Packers on Sunday Night Football. And then 2 games on Monday. Titans at Bills, 5:15. That'll be ESPN. Then the Vikings and Eagles at 6:30 on ABC. Flip it over to a little baseball. The Jays and Rays, a 5-game set beginning in Toronto yesterday. The Jays in the highly controversial red uniforms with the volatile Jose Berrios on the mound. Had this one on Sportsnet 960 or on Sportsnet West as the Rays had to go for a bit of a bullpen day, having been blown out by the Yankees Saturday and Sunday. Good start for Berrios, a tidy first, but Tampa got away with some of that Tampa small ball in the second.
Runners at first and second, Berrios deals, and a pitch pulled towards first base and past the plunge of Biggio into right field, a soft single that will cash in a run for the Rays. Jonathan Aranda makes it 1-0 Tampa Bay with a seeing eye single that went between Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Kevin Biggio.
So, an early 1-0 lead. Berrios would get out of trouble, leaving a couple stranded, but Toronto just could not do anything against 26-year-old Cooper Criswell, making his first big league appearance.
Who are these people?
Just very Tampa Bay Rays. Just another Rays pitcher that barely make it to the majors, but then he does, and he's lights out. He retired the order the first time through, but then ran into some trouble in the fourth. George Springer took a walk. Vladdy singled into left on the first pitch he saw to advance Springer and bring Bo Bichette to the plate.
Here's a swing and a liner into left field, a base hit. Springer being waved around third. Peralta's up with the throw. On a bounce, it's cut off. 1-1 game here in the fourth. RBI base hit for Bo Bichette.
Chris Will allows a run to Bo Bichette, one of the hottest bats in the majors right now. He'd get Kirk to pop out before being pulled for JT Chargois, who had Teoscar Hernandez come to the dish with just one out.
Here's the 0-1. Ground ball in the middle of the diamond. Flagged on the backhand by Aranda. Goes to the shortstop walls for one. A throw to first in time to get the out. Nifty play in the middle of the diamond by the rookie Aranda. To Walls, one of the best defensive matchups in Major League Baseball, in the middle of the diamond, perfectly spinning two to stop the Blue Jays' threat in the fourth inning.
So Hernandez hits into the double play, pretty nifty double play by the Rays to get the inning over and avoid more trouble. On to the fifth we went. Yandy Diaz gets on base with a single and two outs, a chance for more trouble, but Matt Chapman having none of it.
Runner goes, 3-2 pitch, bounce towards third base, in between hop, handled on the backhand by Chapman. Upright and on to first in time. What a sparkling play by Matt Chapman.
And he's so fun to watch at third, just nothing gets by him. And if it gets in his glove, it's a dart on a rope to Vladdy every time. That ends the inning. Nothing going for the Jays against Chargois in the bottom, though. Chapman, Biggio, and Jansen, boom, 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 all sat down. On to the sixth. A very efficient first five innings for Berríos as well. Only 71 pitches through five. Randy Arozarena would stripe a single, pass Bo Bichette to get on base with one out. Arozarena would advance to third after Danny Jansen missed a throw to second as the Raids speedster attempted a steal while Peralta was drawing a walk. That brought Manuel Margot to the dish.
The 1-1. Bounce on the ground towards third base. Caught up in the hole by Bichette. Goes to second for one. Only out the Blue Jays can get. A run comes in with Arozarena. Cashed in to make it 2-1 Tampa Bay.
That one goes down as an unearned run after the error committed by Jansen. They do get the one out on the play, would get out of the inning on a soft ground out to Berríos by the next batter, but trailing once again. New pitcher for the Rays as well, 26-year-old Javi Guerra. A ninth major league appearance for Guerra, first since July 2nd for a hard-throwing righty. Dealt with Raimel Tapia, had to battle George Springer and Vladdy at the top of the order, but easier said than done as Guerra wields a 99-mile-per-hour fastball and sinker. Springer would strike out trying to hit this thing. Vladdy would snap a ball rolling into right field wall for a double. 100th career double for Vladdy. And that brought Bo Bichette to the plate. Scary moment, though.
The pitch to Bo comes up and in, and it hit him in the helmet. And Bo is fired up. He slams his bat down at home plate. He got the tower buzzed, and it clipped the helmet.
Oh, and if Bo hadn't backed off that one, he would have caught it right in the bean, and that was a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. He was not happy. Put a couple guys on base, raised the temperature of the tilt just a wee bit as well. Kirk was next to the dish.
Runners at first and second, two out. Alejandro Kirk at the plate. Ground ball bounced out to the second baseman. Paredes backs up, tosses towards first. High throw. Choi comes down with it. Hits the bag at first to retire the side.
Little disappointing after Bichette and Vladdy get on base, send the game to the sixth, and another trip to the bump for Berríos. Slip of the pitch facing the first batter, though, the number eight hitter in the lineup hits the batter, got the dugouts jawing back and forth, got some warnings either way. They are both accidental bonks in an important and tight game, but once again did raise the temp of the tilt just a wee bit. Berríos would get the ninth batter on a pop-out to end his night after 6 1/3 innings of work. Six hits against, two runs, but just one earned and four strikeouts with a single walk. Did you like John Schneider jawing back and forth with the Rays bench, Danny?
I was going to say, John Schneider, if I'm any other baseball coach, like he might be top of my list of guys just not to mess with. He was mad. He was. I wondered if the benchers were going to clear at that exact moment. Although when the coaches are doing it, you generally assume it would really take something real heated. But yeah, John Schneider, very easy to lip read.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hiding what he's saying. It is not appropriate for
radio.
Doesn't
cover his mouth very much. No.
No. And is very vocal. And you know, good for him standing up for his guys. That's ultimately how I feel about it. But you do look at him and you're like, that's a big man who you get the feeling knows how to handle himself just a little bit.
Yeah. He would go to the mound and pull Berríos after that, handing the ball to Jimmy Garcia to face the top of the order, and a little how'd you do from the defense to clean up the inning.
Runner at first and the 1-1. Ground ball towards Bichette. Shovels to his right. Got it. To Biggio for one. Turn to two. Roger Center loves it. They're out of their seats applauding. Bo Bichette starts an inning-ending double play.
Bing, bang, boom. Double play, and off to the bottom of the seventh we went. New pitcher for the Rays as well, lefty Colin Posch. Teoscar Hernandez would strike out, but then Matt Chapman singled. Espinal also struck out, so it's Danny Jansen coming to the plate with a couple of outs.
Usually the bulk guy threw five innings yesterday. Jansen with a hard ground ball down to third. It's speared by Diaz. Spins around, throws to first in time. To retire the side. Hard ground ball, tough hop, handled by Diaz. After the pirouette, the Blue Jays are retired.
There's a pretty nice defensive play for the final out of the inning. Only six more outs for the Jays in this tight game as they still trailed 2-1. Garcia back out after securing two outs on three pitches in the seventh. A couple nice plays by Chapman and Bichette led to a couple of ground outs, but then Garcia would bonk another batter. This time he plunks Randy Arozarena off the bottom of the hand. That would be it for Jimmy Garcia. Tim Meza brought in to get the final out of the inning, and he'd do so via ground out. So the bottom of the inning with Tapia, Springer, and Guerrero Jr. due up against another pitcher for the Rays. veteran righty Jason Adam, one of the better relievers this season. Tapia would knock a single over the pitcher's head, then steal second to get into scoring position, his seventh steal of the year. Springer grounded out for the first out. Vladdy would strike out for the second, brought the hottest bat in ball to the dish.
Tag run at second. The 3-2 pitch. Bichette swings and he hits it. High and deep. Out to left field. A Rosarena in front of the wall. He jumps. It's gone! It's gone! Bo Bichette delivers! A go-ahead two-run homer here in the eighth inning.
Hoo-hoo-hoo! Down by the knees, just over the wall. And that after he took the heater right up near the chops in his last at bat, the Jays turn it on its head. 3-2 the lead after that. Pretty clutch for Bo Bichette.
And you know what? Yesterday morning we had Ben Nicholson-Smith on.
We did have him.
We said, hey, what do the Jays need to do to stay hot? And he was like, well, it really is Bo Bichette. And here we are a couple hours later. Because I don't know. I mean, that's a tough ball to get over the fence.
Yes, sir.
It's low. It's away. I mean, he had to
with
scoop
two
it.
Outs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unbelievable. One of those highlights that, you know, like you look back at the end of a season when a team, you know, goes on a playoff run and you think about those moments.
I don't know who it was in the outfield for the Rays, but the look on his face as that just escaped over the top of his glove was kind of like, oh, this guy's raking right now. My goodness.
Again, like, just even getting the power. I mean, Bo Bichette is not the biggest man on the planet, so getting that ball over, but... You know, gutsy swing, huge moment. And honestly, like, I don't know if you were watching. It didn't really feel like the Jays were going to win that game.
No, it didn't at all.
Like it
felt like they were going to lose 2-1.
Yeah, and just be really, really frustrated at the end of it. They just couldn't get the runs.
On a bullpen day.
Yeah.
But like a bullpen day where the Rays were dealing.
Exactly. So, yeah, huge moment and a huge moment in the season.
And then Kirkwood ground out on a broken bat, so that would end the inning. It brought Jordan Romano out to try and shut this thing down. First had to deal with Manuel Margot. Nope.
The pitch. Swinging a high fly ball to the gap left center field. Jackie Bradley Jr. is on the run. He gets to the wall, and he makes the catch! Holy smokes! Jackie Bradley Jr. just checking into the game, makes a sensational play!
Quite a grab by Jackie Bradley Jr. Just got into the game for George Springer in center field. Brought the pinch hitter Isaac Paredes in. Romano would make quick work of him. So boom, two down. On to the eight hitter, Francisco Mejia. To try and end this thing off.
Blue Jays can move into a virtual tie for first place in the wild card with a win. The 1-1. Ground ball down to first. Vladdy's got it. Runs to the bag to finish the ball game.
Nice save, Romano.
What an unbelievable night at Rogers Center. What an incredible night and an incredible week for Bo Bichette, who capitalizes again.
33 of 37 saves on the season for Jordan Romano.
Nice save, Romano.
The proud spokesman of Mary Brown's Chicken. Now tied for the lead in American League for saves. He's cooking right now. A huge come from behind 3-2 win for the Jays. Humongous win. Another huge game for Bo Bichette. And he talked about his approach at the plate these days.
Yeah, two strikes. I'm just competing. So, just trust my ability to get to the fastball. I have to rush for it and give myself a chance on the slider. And got a chance.
The Jays jump over the idle Mariners and the Rays with the win. They're into the first wild card spot and are now second in the division. Just a few games back at the Yankees as well.
If you can win two of these next three against the Rays, you got to start thinking. And I know we're going to ask Adnan when he's on, but there's a part of me that wonders if they can make this run and catch the Yankees. It's going to take a little luck. The Yankees are going to have to stay cold. Well, I guess they're not really cold anymore.
Yeah, they're starting to hit again. They're starting to show signs of life.
You feel like it's just a little bit too little too late to really catch them, but
5.5 games back. And I think they only play each other three more games the rest of the season.
They both had their downturn at the same time. Like when the Yankees were going down, the Jays were having their downtime. So that was the time where the Jays were supposed to really make some space up.
And it's just one more series between these two for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't love that.
Jays have a decent, because they got Baltimore up next. Baltimore's not playing particularly well right now. Like, there's some winnable games on the schedule.
Baltimore, it's still a problem. I don't love how that series sets up with Baltimore. Because as much as you basically, you know, knocked them back five games in the last series, I just don't like playing those guys. They're pesky.
I'm not making the argument that the Jays are going to catch the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
but I am making the argument that it's okay to dream a little bit. I don't think it's out of the question.
They have a lot of road games more than home games the rest of the way, so they won't have that short porch helping them out.
The Yankees do?
Yeah, they have a lot more on the road than they do at home.
The Jays have one of the harder schedules to end the season. The Mariners have, I believe it's one of the easiest, like a top three easiest remaining schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, they just got to get through San Diego, and then it's easy peasy the rest of the way.
Yeah, and for the Jays, like since they dealt with Texas, the only sub-500 team they're going to face for the rest of the season is Boston, and it's a three-game set, and that's it.
I love smashing Boston, though, so.
And they're only three games below 500. They're not even that bad of a team. Like, they're a bad team, but they're not. You know,
like the Yankees still have to play the Pirates for two. They got, you know, the Brewers for three, and the Brewers haven't been great since the deadline, and they close out with four against the Rangers.
Oh,
all right, so luck. I mean, it doesn't seem that likely. I probably should have done more research before talking about it. I was just getting carried away in the excitement of Bobuchet's big hit, so it's probably not happening.
Book of Boba Fett theme song?
Yeah, it was
that
great.
That got you going?
You nailed it.
That was pretty good. It worked well with the home run.
And look, you got me excited now because honestly, even if they can't catch the Yankees, as you know, the only thing that I like more than winning a championship is beating Boston. Boston sadness is as good as my happiness, so let's see it. Go sweep them, end the season, really, really shake their confidence before.
Anybody but Boston. That's
anybody
Danny.
But Boston.
It was a pretty quiet night around the rest of the majors. The Orioles were idle, having fallen way back of a wild card spot, six games back of the Mariners and the Rays. The race for the AL Central continues, Cleveland leading the division, the White Sox 2.5 games back entering Monday. The Sox were idle, but the Guardians were taking on the Angels, a big game for the Guardians in the playoff race, and a big game for Mike Trout, who continues to chase history, having hit home runs in six straight games going into this one. Cleveland got to Angels starter Reed Detmers early, played in four runs in the second inning, but the Angels fought back. Matt Duffy with a two-run shot in the top of the fourth, and then in the top of the fifth.
Driven to center field, Mike Trout hit it well, looking to tie this up. He does! Seven straight games with a home run for the kid, Mike Trout. 4-4 here in Cleveland.
We still call him the kid, hey? Like, do we still call Sid the kid? Mike Trout's pretty old, isn't he? He's been around for a little while.
I'm looking that up, obviously, so we'll just vamp for a second here.
35th dinger of the season for Mike Trout. He had a home run in his seventh straight game, so he's now just one short of tying the MLB record of eight, which has been accomplished three times. Dale Long did it in 1956, Don Mattingly in 87, then Ken Griffey Jr. back in 93.
That's the kid.
That's the kid. Mike Trout is 31.
That's not really the kid. I don't think you can be called the kid in sports when you're over 30.
I agree. I mean, did we call? You would have been very young. But I feel like Ken Griffey Jr. kept the kid. But Ken Griffey Jr. also had that like youthful energy that just delighted you every day. I mean, I'm really happy that Mike Trout continues to do amazing things while nobody pays attention.
Well, it was classic. Is in the most Angels thing ever.
Did they lose?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my God.
As it goes, when the Angels hit her, it's either Trout or it's Shohei Ohtani setting amazing records. They still lost. Amed Rosario would hit an RBI double in the seventh, and the Guardians win it 5-4. So Mike Trout has hit home runs in seven straight, and he loses.
Disband the franchise.
Good for Tito Francona and the Cleveland Guardians, though. That team, nobody had them winning this Central Division this year with the amount of talent the White Sox had. Good for the Guardians. That's all I can say. Manuel Classic.
That's still a race, though. It's only three games between Cleveland and Chicago.
I know, but like, to have Cleveland leading the Central
mm-hmm.
this late in the year,
mm-hmm.
not a lot of people have that. Terry Francona for Manager of the Year.
You heard it here first. Davis Cup group stage action today. Canada against Korea going at 8 a.m. Here's the deal. Canada's got three matches over the course of the week, or three kind of days, I guess you could call it. They have to finish top two in their pool of four to advance to the quarterfinals in November, but it's going to be tough. They're in a pool that also has Korea. I believe Spain is also in. They will play Spain on Friday, and then on Saturday they'll play Serbia.
And Alcaraz is already back playing for Spain at the Davis Cup. So.
Yeah, and Alcaraz is, you know, just the...
Number one
overall. Oh, and they're going to be playing in Valencia, Spain.
Oh,
so he's going to have a home crowd behind him as well. That'll start at 8 a.m. It's going to be on Sportsnet. I'm not entirely sure what the format for the actual day is. Like, I was trying to look into it, and I was like, I can find the contestants, but I don't necessarily know how the day is going to go. So, there you go.
I mean, I hope you're not looking for me.
But you know what you can do? You can tune in 8 a.m. Sportsnet West and find out then.
Yeah. I've got a great Tennis Canada press release up here. That
got Felix Auger-Aliassime.
I'm sort of reading. I like our team.
Yeah, the team's good.
Yeah. But tough draw.
Who's on the team?
Felix.
Yeah.
Pospisil.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gallardo and...
Alexi Gallardo.
Yeah, and then recent Granby champion Gabriel Diallo.
Chapo opted against it.
Mm. Come on, no Chapo.
We got to win one of these Davis Cups at some point.
That's a tough pool. We'll see how they do against Korea today. That gets going at around
in the Tennis Canada.
Is Djokovic going to be playing for Serbia during this?
I had seen his name earlier. Oh, like when I had looked into this, like. When I was first looking into Davis Cup, like, last Monday, but I believe...
Okay, Nadal and Djokovic are both not competing.
Oh, okay.
But again, in the article on the Tennis Canada website, so, you know, this is their, like, messaging, mm-hmm. It's Group B is probably the toughest group of the draw. So when they're acknowledging it, tells you something.
There you go.
Good luck to our Canadian guys. There's some really cool pictures of the guys getting out of vans on this article. Looking great. Tropical locations.
Should also mention, forgot to mention, the Jays have a doubleheader today. They have a game at 11, and they have a game at 5 o'clock.
Well, I hope that they win both, and even then I will still not believe that they can catch the Yankees because I learned my lesson about 5 minutes ago.
We're going to have both these games on Sportsnet 960 for you as well.
That's awesome.
How about that?
Check them out.
11 o'clock, the Jays and the Rays. That'll go up until 2-ish. Then it'll be Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon. Flames Talk with Steinberg and Logan goes at 3 until 5 o'clock. Don't know what the starting pitching matchup is going to be for the second game, but it is going to be Alek Manoah on the bump for the first and Jeffrey Springs going for the Rays.
We think Mitch White for the Jays and a possible bullpen game for the Rays again. So essentially a bullpen game for both.
So that would mean a roster move because Mitch White is still in AAA, isn't he?
I don't know.
I thought he got optioned down.
No, I don't think he got optioned down.
Mm. Is a doubleheader like going to a doubleheader? Is that like a desirable thing for you?
Me?
Yeah, spending the whole day.
To, like, go watch one?
Yeah.
It's
a bit much.
Yeah, I think it's a bit much. It's a lot of baseball.
It's a lot of baseball.
Like, what would be ideal is if I could go for like the last three innings of the first game and it'd be very close. Yeah. Like, if I could have gone to the last three innings of last night's game and then watch a full game of Alek Manoah, okay.
Yes.
But if you're selling me on not Alek Manoah and then Mitch White...
I feel like in-and-out privileges are important for a doubleheader. Like, I love baseball. I love watching a game. But I've never left a baseball game and been like, what I want to do right now is watch another. Like, right now.
Yeah, well, you usually get like 30 minutes, 45 minutes to give a quick rake on the diamond and see you right back out there.
I'm just saying that, like, they should let the fans leave and come back. Although, for all I know, it's you get separate sets of tickets for each game. I don't
think so. Yeah. No, I don't. I imagine that they're not just going to skip out on some revenue, Danny.
Well, if I was a ticketing guy, I'd make offers. You get 50% off. Buy both.
And you'd be broke. And that's the morning report.
And good night, and good luck to you, sir.
And it's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Listen, we went late, but didn't have a guest at 7 a.m., so that's the way the cookie crumbles. Around the corner, we got to talk about the ranch. I got some questions for you. Sports and 960 The Fan.